Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we try to answer your queries, your issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children, and the answers are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family. Well, today we have the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Naqvi, who is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Yes, thank you very much.
So, Professor, you have been helping us to be doing some of the things, some of the basic things, to encourage our teens to be more Islamic. So what else could parents do to help their teenagers to be more Islamic?
So, as we've always been saying, that educating our children is important, especially when we talk about educating. We need to bring about a change in their behavior, but the behavior starts with knowledge.
Right.
And when it comes to Islamic education, education of Islam or Islamic education, when it comes to the specific sense of becoming a good Muslim, then we need those three basic ingredients. And that is, number one, the Islamic beliefs. Number two, the ethics and morals that we have to take into consideration. And number three, the practical laws of Islam. So we can grade these teachings of Islam into three categories: the Islamic beliefs, and the ethics and morals, and then the practical laws.
The jurisprudence.
And they are, of course, interconnected. You can't have morals and ethics without the beliefs, and you can't have the Islamic laws without the morals and the beliefs.
Right.
They're all together interconnected. And these have to be understood based on the Quran and the Sunnah.
Okay.
So we need to our children to understand these three in the light of the Quran and Sunnah. So we need to teach them how to be able to refer to the Quran and the Sunnah in not a very academic way, but just in a way that they can, the understanding about Islamic teachings in these three categories is somehow embedded in the Quran and the Sunnah. The relationship between these teachings and the Quran and the Sunnah should be established for the children. They should know that they cannot become a good Muslim without having proper Islamic
knowledge
about Islamic beliefs. Morals and values and practical laws, but they have to be embedded in the Quran and the Sunnah. And of course, the intellect, the reasoning plays a very important role.
Right.
So that has to be developed. So in a narrow sense, when we talk about Islamic education, these are the three things which have to be taught. If we can't do them on our own, we need to send our children to schools and institutions where they are taught about them. And the Quran and Sunnah is also taught to them. The intellectual approach to these things is also taught to them. This is the specific narrow sense of Islamic teachings and the narrow sense of Islamic education. But when you come to a broader understanding of the Islamic education, then this should then all of these things should permeate throughout all other activities. And whether it's our private life, whether it's our social life, whether it is political issues, economic issues, even environmental issues, these teachings should then, be able to affect and influence our practices in all these spheres of life. So in the narrow sense, we have to start off with the narrow sense, where we establish a relationship with Allah Almighty in the general sense.
Right.
Then we come down to the specific areas. And we have previously been talking about the four relationships: the relationship with Allah Almighty, the ourselves, other human beings, and even the environment.
Yeah.
And that is below, underneath the general relationship with Allah Almighty.
Right.
So we have to teach our children about these things. The specific teachings and then the broader sense.
Right. Thank you so much, Professor. We'll be back after a short while. We'll discuss more with you. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Nakavi discussing how we can make our teens more Islamic, what things could be done, what are some of the basic things. Well, Professor, you know, you're talking about the Islamic kind of education that should be inculcated in our teens. But there were some parents I saw. They sent their children to China for doing MBBS or doing other courses, misunderstanding the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, even if you have to go to China, can you explain that a little more? What kind of knowledge was that? And because the thing that you are saying, that you said before the break, what is important, that should be, that affects and influences all the spheres of our life, is some other knowledge.
Yes, when we talk about knowledge and wisdom, especially wisdom and hikmah, because hikmah or wisdom is a stage which you achieve by the implementation of what you know.
Right.
If you are able to implement what you know, then you achieve a level of hikmah. And that hikmah is a light within you. And any form of wisdom is the lost property of a mu'min.
Yeah.
Al-hikmah, dhallatul mu'min.
Right.
Dhalla means something which has been lost. So wherever he is able to find it, he should go to find it and get it.
Right.
Even as the Holy Prophet says, even if he has to travel a long distance and go to China.
Right.
So wisdom in the general sense, when we talk about Islamic teachings in a specific narrow sense, yes, we mean these things.
Right.
The beliefs, the models, the practical laws embedded in the Quran and the Sunnah.
Right.
So this is the specific narrow sense. But when it comes to the general sense, then any form of knowledge, any form of wisdom which is going to help us in developing the relationship with Allah Almighty and the four relationships underneath those, that general relationship with Allah, that wisdom is something which has to be sought and
right.
which has to be struggled and endeavored for. We need to strive to achieve that knowledge. Now, sometimes knowledge is for the sake of understanding facts. Some knowledge is for the sake of implementing those things.
Right.
And implementational knowledge is wisdom. Knowledge which we are able to implement in society, on ourselves, is the knowledge which changes to wisdom.
Right.
So we have to go forth for it in any way, in any place in the world. It is something which is something lost, which we have to find.
Right.
So in that sense, when the Holy Prophet says that even if you have to go out to China, yes, there may be things there may be issues pertaining to wisdom, which are there, which we need to get to. And it does not mean that when you go to China, you're going to get the Islamic knowledge that is there in the specific sense which I meant,
right.
which I've mentioned just
right.
before.
Right.
It means the Islamic knowledge and knowledge and the wisdom in the general and broader sense, any knowledge which is going to help us to perfect ourselves and to become more human and become divine.
Attain that proximity to Allah subhanahu
yes.
wa ta'ala. Yes. We'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we are with Professor Salma Naqvi discussing what are some of the basic things that we can teach our teenagers to be more Islamic. And Professor Salma Naqvi is saying that Islamic education that should be inculcated, how, when, and which spheres should be groomed. Professors, here to talk more.
So we were mentioning the specific sense of Islamic education that I said was in the form of the three aspects, the three categories of beliefs and morals and laws embedded in the Quran and the Sunnah, then the general sense. The knowledge that is acquired in the general sense, of course, even if you have to go to places where they are not Muslim lands, and then you go out there to learn, for example, medicine or engineering or any other field of technology, science, applied science, whatever, it may not be available in your country.
Right.
But when you go out there, you need to know that your children should be abiding by the Islamic principles and values which they have been taught in that specific sense.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I'm remembering two of the girls who memorized the Holy Quran, or I would say they finished reciting it at the very age of 8 years, 9 years. And then they were sent as teens to different places, I would say to some non-Muslim countries, where the dressing was again like that of those non-Muslims, where they forgot all those teachings. While you're saying that it's very important that parents are able to keep that in their children, even if they are sending them to some other country.
Yes, if somebody is not able in a foreign land, in a land where Muslims do not dominate that community, and Islamic values and Islamic principles cannot be promoted, cannot be established, cannot be followed, then we have to migrate from those lands. It's not allowed to live in a land where you cannot observe Islamic teachings.
Okay.
So migration from a land where you cannot live according to Islamic teachings and values is not allowed in Islam.
Right.
You need to migrate. Migration and hijrah is for this very purpose. And places where it is not possible, you need to have a justification, greater justification than what is being, I mean, especially nowadays, they say, oh, we need to, you know, go out to, they make the, as you said, the hadith of the Holy Prophet is made as an excuse, set out as an excuse. But that is not what the Holy Prophet is implying. He does not mean that you go out to China or some foreign lands to learn something whereby you are not being able to live your life, observe the basic tenets of Islam.
Right.
So that is not the proper understanding of the hadith. So you need to go out to China if you can observe the basic issues, as I said.
And the word China in itself does not mean the country China in
itself. No. China at that time was a place where it had a great civilization. It had a very, old civilization of that time.
And also in terms of distance.
And in terms of distance, there was knowledge, there was things, there was progress at that time. So the Holy Prophet would have wanted us to be able to go out to acquire that knowledge and wisdom for the sake of building the human of the Islamic Ummah. So
right.
The Islamic Ummah becomes strong, learns those things, and is able to strengthen itself
right.
And to stand up on. But we go, we make this hadith as an excuse, and then we live there just to, you know,
explore in their way.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us and helping us go out through some of the very important points through this discussion. And this could definitely help parents who are really struggling sometimes with their thoughts. Shall they be sending their children out of the state or not? So if they are observing Islamic laws, then yes, You can. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.